Blessed be the Holy One of Israel, the Word made flesh, the power of the Most High, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Gathered in the name of Jesus, let us confess our sin against God and neighbor. Gracious God. I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born a Savior, Christ the Lord. Your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also
with you.
Thank you.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, O Lord of glory, for the example of Stephen, the first martyr, who looked to heaven and prayed for his persecutors. Grant that we also may pray for our enemies and seek forgiveness for those who hurt us. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns one God, now and forever. You may be seated.
A reading from 2 Chronicles. Now after the death of Jehoiada, the officials of Judah came and did obeisance to the king. Then the king listened to them. They abandoned the house of the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and served the sacred poles and the idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this guilt of theirs. Yet he sent prophets among them to bring them back to the Lord. They testified against them, but they would not listen. Then the Spirit of God took possession of Zechariah, son of the priest of Jehoiada, and he stood above the people and said to them, "Thus says the Lord, why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord so that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he has also forsaken you." But they conspired against him. And by command of the king, they stoned him to death in the court of the house of the Lord. King Joash did not remember the kindness that Jehoiada, Zechariah's father, had shown him, but killed his son. As he was dying, he said, "May the Lord see and avenge." The word of the Lord. Congregation, please read the bold print of the psalm. Hear a just cause, O Lord. Give heed to my cry. Listen to my prayer, which does not come from lying lips. Examine my heart. Visit me by night. Melt me down. You will find no impurity in me. My footsteps hold fast to your well-worn path, and my feet do not slip. Show me your marvelous loving kindness, O Savior of those who take refuge at your right hand from those who rise against them. From the wicked who assault me, from my deadly enemies who surround me. A reading from Acts. Stephen, full of grace and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedom, as it was called, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and others from those from Cilicia and Asia stood up and argued with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he spoke. Then they secretly instigated some men to say, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." They stirred up the people as well as the elders and the scribes. Then they suddenly confronted him, seized him, and brought him before the council. They set up false witnesses who said, "This man never stopped saying things against this holy place and the law, for we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses handed on to us." And all who sat in the council looked intently at him, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Then the high priest asked him, "Are these things so?" And Stephen replied, "Brothers and fathers, listen to me. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you are forever opposing the Holy Spirit, just as your ancestors used to do. Which of the prophets did your ancestors not prosecute? They killed those who foretold the coming of the righteous one, and now you have become his betrayers and murderers. You are the ones that received the law as ordained by angels, and yet you have not kept it. When they heard these things, they became enraged and ground their teeth at Stephen. But filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they covered their ears and with a loud shout, all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him, and the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he died. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, Therefore I send you prophets, sages, and scribes, some of whom you will kill and crucify, and some you will flog in your synagogues and pursue from town to town, so that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the sanctuary and the altar. Truly, I tell you, all this will come upon this generation. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Merry Christmas. As you know, our celebration of Christmas continues. On Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, we celebrated the Feast of the Incarnation, pondering the Word that became flesh and lived among us. On the day after Christmas, there seems to be, on the surface, a sharp turn. We've gone from candles lit and silent night sung to red vestments and paraments as we hear of the death of Stephen. And if you can believe it or not, this is the first time the Feast of St. Stephen has landed on a Sunday since I've been ordained. Other Christmas feasts have landed on Sunday, but not this particular feast. So you may recall me saying over the years that on the 26th of December, we have St. Stephen, the 27th, St. John, evangelist and apostle, and on the 28th, we have the Holy Innocents. They all immediately follow Christmas Day because they show us the different ways in which we can be a martyr. Because when we think of martyr, I think we always think of someone like Stephen, right? Someone who dies a violent death, or they're killed because of their faith. But the Greek word for martyr literally translates as witness. So following Christmas Day, the church is showing us the different ways in which we could be a witness. Like Stephen, killed for your faith. Like John, the apostle, evangelist, lives a long life, does not have to die a violent death, does not have to be killed for his faith. And in the Holy Innocents, they don't even choose to be a martyr, right? And they bear witness to Christ. So Stephen fits our stereotypical understanding of martyr. He is killed for the faith. But who is Stephen, right? We got a bit of it in our second lesson. We go back to Acts chapter 6. The disciples were growing in number. There are some complaints in the community. The complaints amongst Greek-speaking Jews against the Hebraic Jews. Because the Greek-speaking Jews felt that their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 apostles gathered the disciples and said, "It's not right for us to neglect God's word, to wait on tables." And so the apostles propose, "Elect 7 people to handle this." So Stephen is a deacon. And if you've noticed, we have something in our church that's underway called Stephen's Ministry, right? You notice what their mission and ministry is about. Care, one-to-one care for people in the community, in the congregation, making sure people who need to be ministered to are not going to be neglected, right? So we have the appointment of the first 7 deacons. And then what we hear today is how Stephen is eventually arrested and killed. But Stephen's faithfulness to the way of Jesus Christ enables him to speak boldly. And that's a humbling witness when sometimes it's easier in our world to remain quiet when we really should say something. But Stephen does not hesitate to proclaim the truth, even if those who are going to hear it are not going to like it. It's not a call to be bold by stating how we feel. It's a call to be bold in standing up for what is right, in proclaiming the good news and the values that come with it. It might not always be comfortable or convenient to proclaim that word or to hear that word, but Stephen bears witness to the necessity of needing it to be said. Now, I do believe some in American churches use this call to be bold in the gospel, to weaponize the gospel, and under the guise of a martyr, really becomes a bully. Stephen, if you notice, is not a bully. Stephen, if you notice, is not weaponizing anything. Stephen is following the way of Jesus all the way, in a sense, even though he's stoned to death, he follows Jesus and emulates Jesus all the way to his own death. He doesn't fight the evil that's pushed back against him with more evil and violence. He's pushing back against it with love and peace. He shows us that we defy the evil forces of this world with love. We do not seek to persecute others or desire revenge on our oppressors. What does Stephen even do? He prays for those who persecute him. While Stephen was being stoned, he says, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he died. Stephen is showing us how to imitate Christ in the world, and when we really sit back and think about it, it is not easy. Notice how closely he's imitating Christ. Doesn't Jesus on the cross pray for those who's persecuting him? Doesn't Jesus on the cross commend his spirit to God? And what did we hear Stephen do in Acts? Commends his spirit. Stephen prays for those who are persecuting him while he commends his spirit, should draw us back to what it means to follow the way of Jesus all the way to the cross. Now, on Christmas morning, I mentioned how Christmas is not just about the birth of Christ. It's about the new birth for all of us. We're made new, and we're part of a new creation in Christ. So Stephen's not only showing us a way to follow and a way to imitate Christ, Stephen is showing us what it means to be a new human in Christ, a new way of being human. Peace and love would be the driving force for Stephen and all the martyrs of the church. So in our continued celebration of Christmas, Stephen certainly shows us a possibility of what it means to follow Christ, but certainly the necessity that we must boldly say what needs to be said, stand for what we must stand for, longing for God's peace and justice to reign supreme in the world, even if persecution and death could be the result. In our contemporary history, I think of Martin Luther King Jr. as an example, a Christian who had a bold message that not everybody wanted to hear. Some people thought it was too much. Some people said it was too soon, too fast. But standing for the gospel and proclaiming a sense of justice, that's God's justice for the world, Martin Luther King Jr. did much of what Stephen did, and he was rebuked. And like Stephen, his faithfulness made him a martyr. The good news of Christmas is that Christ came into the world to make all things new. As we sing in Hark the Herald Angels Sing, born to give us second birth. It's not just about remembering the birth of Christ, it's about living into our new birth as part of the body of Christ sent out into the world. And even though we fall short, even though we are broken and we are sinners, what is that? We're not singing it today, but in Hark the Herald Angels Sing, we hear risen with healing in his wings. And we have that image in our gospel that Jesus wants to gather all of us, even those who try to get in the way of the gospel, as like a hen into his wings. So we have good news and hope for all people. Stephen preached good news and was an imitator of Christ. We're called to be the same. So perhaps this feast following Christmas Day is to be a sobering reminder for the church that we cannot just accept part of the story of Jesus. But if we're going to celebrate the birth of Christ, then we need to be aware that if we're following the child in the manger, that journey is going to lead us all the way to the cross. But the good news is that when we get to the cross, there's also an empty tomb. Particularly in our society, on this day, the day after Christmas Day, people by and large will go back to business and life as usual. But if this is about new birth in Christ, then we can't go back. We can't go back. If we take the Christmas message seriously, then our life of faith will at times be joyful and it will at times be difficult. But the good news is that even in the grimmest of circumstances, we are not afraid because Christ is with us. Whether we live or whether we die, we belong to the Lord. That's a reminder that Stephen offers for us today. We do not just share the good news of Christmas, but like Stephen, we embody it. The way of Jesus is not just a holiday. It's not a day of the week. But it permeates all aspects of our lives. And those lives are an extension of the love, mercy, and forgiveness that we have received with Christ that we're called to share with others. Beloved children of God, the new creation is unleashed. Saint Stephen is a martyr, and a witness to us. He could not contain what it meant to be part of the new creation he found himself to be a part of in Jesus Christ. So as a Christmas people, let us bear witness to the God who is with us, the God who sustains us, and the God who loves us so much that even death itself will not be able to separate us from our God. Let us bear witness to our God like Stephen by being imitators of Christ, sharing the love of Jesus, not just for a day, not just for a season, but all the days of our lives. Merry Christmas. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. United with the great cloud of witnesses throughout the ages, we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Holy God, you raise up prophets in every age who boldly speak your justice. Protect those who preach your name in times of hardship and in places of conflict. Strengthen churches who worship in fear. Ignite the hearts of your faithful people with your truth. Hear us, O God. Holy God, speak a liberating word to your good creation. Bring rain and growth to desolate places. Forgive us for the ways that we have harmed and dishonored the earth. Out of dust and death, bring forth new life. Hear us, O God. Holy God, gather together the nations under your wings. Safeguard those who bring supplies, medical care, and peacekeeping efforts to places at war. Mend our divisions and open our hearts to forgive one another across political and geographic boundaries. Hear us, O God. Holy God, we pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Sarah, our dean, Adam, our pastor, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God. Hear us, O God. Holy God, you know the things that take life away from us: sickness, pain, anxiety, hunger, and prejudice. Do not forsake us in our time of need, but draw near to those who suffer, especially Phil and Kristen, Edna, Matt, Susan, Tracy, Amber, Crystal, Vincent, Pat, Debbie, Candace, Randy, Stan, Phyllis, Jasmine, Audrey, David, Sutton, Nola, Ruth, John, Barb, Leah, our homebound, and for those with COVID-19. Lord, we give thanks for vaccines and treatments, and we ask that you strengthen doctors, medical care workers, and caretakers who see to the needs of all entrusted to their care. Come quickly with your grace and power. Hear us, O God. Holy God, you are the keeper of our lives in times of joy and sorrow. Sustain all who feel the sting of grief and lament in this season. Bring peace to those feeling lonely or conflicted. Comfort families experiencing conflict or loss. Hear us, O God. Holy God, you sent your Son Jesus to protect us all. We pray for those in our armed services and their chaplains. Hear us, O God. Holy God, we praise you for Stephen and all the martyrs and saints who served you in life and now praise you in life eternal. Encourage us by their witness to live each day not with shame or fear, but for your glory. Hear us, O God.
In the company of your saints, we commend all for whom we pray. trusting in your eternal mercy and love through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. We continue with the offering.
Let us pray. Generous God, you have given us life, this community, and these gifts of the earth that become the meal of your grace. Move in our hearts that we might use your gifts to bring hope and blessing wherever we go. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. In the wonder and mystery of the Word made flesh, you have opened the eyes of faith to a new and radiant vision of your glory, that beholding the God made visible, we may be drawn to love the God whom we cannot see. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy and wondrous God, long ago you spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways. And in these last days you have spoken to us in your word made flesh, Jesus, who proclaimed your dream of peace. He gave himself for our weary world, accepting death so that we might live, and held our darkness deep within until through cross and grave and empty tomb, he set us free for love. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. And so we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Recalling his death and resurrection and longing for his coming glory, we offer you these gifts of bread and wine and our lives in thanks and praise. Pour out your Spirit upon these gifts that they may be for us the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. Pour out your Spirit upon us that we might be a people of grace and truth, bearing good news of joy in every season. And bring us at last with Mary and Joseph and all your saints to that vision of eternal splendor for which you have created us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, by him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, we worship you, O God, in songs of everlasting praise. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. This time I'd like to invite our communion assistants forward, and anybody who's going to participate in Children's Church this morning may come forward for a blessing or to receive the sacrament. Distribution will be continuous. I'll be in the center aisle with the consecrated hosts. There'll be two stations of consecrated wine. If you need grape juice, they'll only be on the pulpit side. An usher will release you forward with trays of glass cups. Receive a glass cup as you come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you. Love has come. God's love for all the people. Come and eat, for Christ invites you. the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Emmanuel, God with us, you grace us with life and breath and give us bread for the journey. Send us out in service to this world that you love, telling the amazing news of your coming to be Savior and Lord of all. Amen.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. St. John. Grace from God's own heart, peace from the child in the manger, and strength from the Spirit of life be blessings for you today and forever.
Christ is born. Go tell it on the mountain and everywhere.